Are you ready for a word this morning?
Yep.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that you orchestrate this message. I need your teaching anointing. I'm dependent upon you. Orchestrate. Bring forth a symphony of words connecting together this morning. It penetrates our hearts, brings us to our assigned destiny. In Jesus' name, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, for most people in here, this is going to be review. But in praying about what to cover in these messages, I want to build a foundation in these early messages for where we're going. Why are we here? What's this about? Now, on the front entryway over here on the side, we have a list of the goals of the church. And this all ties to those. Once I find it back in chapter 2 myself, we've taught on this many times, but it's worthy of just focusing on, especially for those that haven't seen it before. And starting out, this Bible, I believe, according to the Word, and according to what Jesus said, is the inspired Word of God.
Yes.
Let me say that again. Let it penetrate. I believe this Bible is the inspired Word of God.
Yes.
I believe everything recorded in this book is accurately and truly recorded.
Yes.
Jesus said, this is Jesus, every punctuation mark is inspired of God.
Amen.
And every prophecy will be fulfilled. Amen.
Amen.
So this is my foundation for life. When I have a challenge, I go to this book. When I'm fighting a battle, I go to this book. When I have a victory, I'm still going to the book. This book determines everything we're to be doing. And let me say this. This book can be misinterpreted. It can be abused, used for manipulative purposes. It can be turned into a legalistic manual. I've got a message that last night I was going through probably 15 years of messages just to remind myself of some of the basic things we teach. And what I'm going to teach very soon is on something like 20 or 25 forms of religion we have to be on guard against. One of those is legalism.
Yep.
That you take the book, instead of making it a Bible or a book or an instruction manual of relationship, we turn it into, you got to do this and you got to do that. You can't do this and you can't do that. And Paul referred to that as living by the law. It's not what the Bible was meant to be. It's to be about connecting us in a relationship to know the voice and direction of God and experience His love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so this book can be misapplied. My goodness, how many times have we seen this? Even the King James has some misinterpretations. Did he just say that? Yes, it was written, it was translated some 500 years ago. And when they translated it, they had some preconceived mindsets of what it should say. So one of the things that are wrong, I should say it's wrong, it's right, but people interpret it wrong, is women can't preach.
Right.
It's not the Bible.
Right.
Do you follow me? Women have to be silent in church. That's a misapplication of the messages Paul was writing. Lou, say something.
Hallelujah.
I didn't fall over dead. In fact, that's an edifying word.
Yes, it is.
So that's a misapplication or misinterpretation of the scriptures. We could go on and on with things that have been misapplied. Amen. But I believe if we'll properly, by the Spirit of God, receive revelation of the Bible.
Yes.
It's the foundation for victory in life.
Amen.
It's the foundation for fulfilling your destiny assigned from God. Did I lose anybody with that women can't preach?
No.
They're going to be silent?
No, not at all.
Because it says women should be silent.
That's right.
But actually what was happening is in Corinthians, they were asking Paul questions. Can women speak in church? And so he repeated the question. He said, what, did the doctrine of the gospel only come from you? Mm-hmm. He was like, it's a ridiculous concept. Women can preach as well as men.
Anna.
You follow me? And many of the preachers of the Old Testament, I'm sorry, of the Bible, mm-hmm. in Bible days were women.
Yeah.
Some of the apostles were women.
Yep. Anna.
Anyway, I believe this is the foundation for life. And God said, if you search for me and seek me with all your heart, you will find me. We just sang a song with that. If you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I believe that's true.
Yeah.
How can you believe it's true? Because it's in the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
But sometimes, to seek God means you have to get in the Word. Because this is God's very DNA.
Amen.
I mean, this is His Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh.
Amen.
The Word was His DNA.
Yes.
If we want to know God, we will find Him initially. And really, always He will be revealed to us in His Word. Do you follow me? But you got to get in, you got to search it out. Are you with me?
Yes.
Which is why we're in the book of Habakkuk this morning. Actually, you could ask probably most Christians, is Habakkuk even a book of the Bible? They would say, I don't know. Was that a king of Israel or something like that? And Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet who gave us one of the most powerful prophecies ever recorded in Scripture. And it says in verse number 1, Habakkuk writing, I will set thee upon my watch. In other words, that's intercession. I will set thee upon a tower. I'm going to let God show me from a long way away prophetically what's going to happen. And I'll watch to see what He will say unto me. Habakkuk, an Old Testament prophet, expected God to speak to him. Amen?
Amen.
Then he said this, on what I shall answer when I'm reproved. See, even the prophetic, if properly applies, expects to be corrected. Mm-hmm. Reproved means corrected, adjusted. And Habakkuk said, when God speaks to me, it's going to require change on my part. Now, God gave me a word for 2026 and really beyond. But what He's going to require of us to go into destiny. I shared this earlier this year in part. I've not really shared the whole message yet. But we talked about, He gave me a word about you can't put new wine into old bottles.
Yeah.
You can't sew a new patch onto an old garment. And God was saying, where you're going now requires you to stretch. To change shape. To get out of habit mode. Habitual mindsets, habitual operations. Find out what I would have you do every day and be about the Father's business.
Amen.
This will require a stretch of you. Mentally. Apparently for some of you physically.
Yeah.
Amen. Financially. It's going to stretch your faith. And so Habakkuk said, I'm going to hear from God. And when He does speak to me, I'll be required to make adjustments in my life. I don't know about you, but I've been making adjustments ever since I came in here.
Yeah.
I went from preaching one time a week. Last week was four times.
Yeah.
Which I love anyway. But the point is that each of us have to expect to make changes and stretches.
Amen.
Not everybody around you is going to understand it.
Sure.
But you got to hear God and you got to follow through. So He says, and the Lord answered me. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me. I think you're quoting it without reading it because I've read this so many times and meditated so many times. It's part of it. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run to read of it. And God said to Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a vision. And it's so important, so valuable, I need you to write it down. Do you know how rarely in Scripture God instructs somebody to write something down? Now the prophets received words they wrote down, but here God says, write it down. Because He says it's so important Whoever reads it is supposed to run with it. Now think about that for a minute. Is Habakkuk in your Bible? Not mine. I've just got the New Testament and Psalms. If you have a complete Bible, King James Version or whatever version, one of the books in your Old Testament is Habakkuk.
Yeah.
And the truth is, most Christians never read it. Well, most Christians, they don't. Oh, they might have read it one time when they decided to read the Bible in a year or something like that, or they maybe touched on it. But by and large, most Christians aren't reading the Bible. I bet you read it all, don't you? Was quiet on that one.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you a vision. Whoever reads it must run with it. And Habakkuk is in your Bible. And if you read the vision here, now God, you know what God wants you to run with. I don't know of any other passage in Scripture where God says, whoever reads this must run with it. Now, of course, it's full of things. We need to walk in love. You know, faith works by love. And we go with a lot of commandments of the Word, directives. And here God says, I've got a vision. Whoever reads this vision, that's their assignment. They're going to seek to fulfill. Do you see this? So God says, run with it. Now, I don't know about you. My body really doesn't like to run. Maybe toward the dinner bell. Running requires all in effort.
Yeah.
Last week, Casey put in all week effort. This week, he's in hiding. It's working. Frosty and Joel, many others, I mean, China and Karen, a bunch of you, okay, all in effort. I mean, you've been in there every opportunity you had. You're running. God's got something He's put in your heart, and you're running with it. And I'm telling you what, running means you coordinated as a body. Every part working together. Your arms pumping at the same level as your legs are moving. Your breathing is coordinated with your body. Running is a whole body, all in experience. See, I can sit at my desk and tap my fingers, especially when I'm driving my wife nuts. I'll just watch and see what she does. It's my daughter who had trouble with it, didn't it? And the rest of my body isn't even aware of it. Just drumming or twiddling or whatever. But running, your whole body knows what's going on. Yet again, it's an all-in effort. Running with a vision requires more than part-time Christianity. Just going to church on Sunday. Running requires effort. Yeah. Move beyond what you feel is comfortable. Well, if it's hard, if it's any work, that can't be God, because God delivered us from works. No. He delivered you from works for salvation. He didn't deliver you from crucifying the flesh, making the flesh line up to what God's plan is. Are you with me on that? It requires determination. Amen. I remember back in the early 80s, I ran a couple of triathlons. The lower level ones, the 10-man ones. Where you'd actually swim for half a mile, bicycle for about 25, and run a 10K, 6.2 miles. I did a couple of those back in the early 80s. You talk about all in. By the time you're doing that 10K, you're dragging. I actually won my division in 1983. I was the only one that did it barefoot. Swam, biked, and ran barefoot. A whole other story anyway. It's all in. It requires you to eat right beforehand, right? Even after. Get the right amount of fluids. Same thing with all in Scripture. You better eat the Word right. You better drink of the Spirit of God. It requires you to be focused on making the, finishing the work. So he says, I'm going to give you a vision. Then in verse 3 he says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. The Lord's God says, the vision I've given to some people, when they read it, and it's in your Bible, start going to read it this morning, which means you're now responsible for it. The vision is for an appointed time. And what he's saying is, at the end it shall speak. For the past 2,000 years, for most of it, the church has not known what the vision was. Because it wasn't speaking yet. But he says, at the end it shall speak. In the end times, which we're in now, the vision is now speaking. And speaking to people with a heart to be all in, to go after God, he can bring them into a state of running with his vision. But then shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, though it seems like it's running late, it will not tarry. It's not going to be late. So God says this vision, people won't understand it for a long time, but at the end time, people will get a revelation of my plan, of my vision for them. And everyone that reads Habakkuk, which is in your Bible, now knows what they're assigned to run with. Do you follow me?
Amen.
And he tells the vision in verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God says, I'm going to fill the earth with my glory as the waters cover the sea. Now, water in the scriptures represents the moving of the Spirit of God. Really a combination of the Lord. It says, our feet shall be cleansed by the washing of the water by the Word of God. Word and the Spirit changing us. And he says, as waters cover the sea, seas represent the people, seas of people. And God says, as the Word goes out, anointed by the Spirit of God, it comes on the people. I'm going to use those people to manifest the glory of God in these end times.
Amen.
And guess who's going to do that?
We are.
Whoever reads the vision gets the revelation and runs with it.
Yes.
Be carriers of God's end time glory. And God's going to use that glory to harvest the earth with all the souls he can bring in. And here's what starts to sound far-fetched. What do you mean he's going to fill the earth with glory? I mean, God's going to fill the earth with so much of his tangible love that in many cases it becomes visible. Overwhelming. It says when Moses dedicated the tabernacle, we covered this a few weeks ago. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle, the glory of God came in so strong, Moses couldn't enter the tabernacle. Couldn't enter. God's favorite person, most humble man ever, could not enter the tabernacle because of the glory. Puts him on his face. When Solomon dedicated the temple he built for God, and he made sacrifices, it says, couldn't be numbered. When he dedicated the temple, the glory of God came in again. So strong, it says, the priest could not stand to minister. See, the glory is when it comes in so strong, it takes away your human strength and makes you totally dependent upon him alone. We have times whenever somebody comes up for prayer, frequently, you pray for them, power God hits them, they're down on the floor. It's happened to me probably hundreds of times. To me personally. And seen it thousands of times in my ministry. Years ago, we had Krishna Murfish visit our church.
Oh, wow.
And he carried such a glory on him.
Yes, yes.
That one time during a service in Lexington, he turns his hands over, and I'm telling you, the TV light shone, it's bright. You could see an indigo purple glow on his hands, like a ball of glory over his hands. Anybody see that beside me? I'm on the front row, Krishna Harfush. His name's Christian's first name, Harfush. Krishna Harfush Ministries. maybe my favorite teacher that I've heard, as far as just the ability to teach out of the Word. And a purple glow was on his hands. And he would tell a row, grab the hand of the person next to you. And everybody would grab hands on a whole row going across. He'd go to touch the in person, Jesus, and the whole row would go down.
Yeah.
He'd go row the row. Yeah. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
I was
there. I was there.
You know who Kenneth Hagin was? Kenneth Hagin Sr.
Yeah.
Maybe the most powerful healing teacher of his generation. He's the one that built Ramah University down in Tulsa and had a powerful healing ministry, phenomenal testimony. He's been dead now for about 20 years, been gone for 20 years or so. But I got to hear him within a few months before he passed. I went down to Creflo Dollar's Church in Atlanta, that's College Park, Georgia. And I'm sitting toward the back, and Creflo Dollar's church seated 12,000 people. I remember the number right, 12,000. And it was in V, she was in a kind of a semicircle with V-shaped sections. And Kenneth Hagin is so under the power of God, the glory of God, he's walking on the stage, he's been preaching, and he's going, two men having to hold him up. And he come to a section, I'm talking about in the sections, probably at least 1,000 people. Maybe there's 1,000 person sections. And he would wave his hand and go, Jesus! And the entire section, 1,000 people go out in the spirit. He go down to him, Jesus! A whole 1,000 people go out. That's the glory. And it can be visible or it can just be so tangible, it's beyond your human strength to resist. And God says, I'm bringing to you the end times on the church. I'll believe all that. I believe the glory's talking about when we get to heaven. So that we die, we leave this body, we go to the third heaven, we'll be in the glory then. You're absolutely true with that. And the third heaven is full of glory. It's the atmosphere of heaven.
Yes.
But hold this spot, or you don't have to. We'll probably come back to it. Turn back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 60, another verse of the passage we're well familiar with in here. You can slow down. This so excites me. Isaiah 60. And again, some people say, no, the glory's for the end. It's for heaven when we get to heaven. Then why did God say, the end shall speak and not lie? Something for the end times.
Yes.
And again, I've had, I would venture to say, at least 50 dreams and visions from God. Visitations. Came in my living room one time, sat on the couch next to me, adjacent to me. At least 50. And every single one I can recall that I had dealt with the glory of God coming to the earth at end times. Including the water tower picture that we have, that we have on the walls very soon. In fact, they're in the living room. I need to bring them in. They're behind a curtain in the living room. So, Habakkuk chapter, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 60, are you there?
Yep.
Now again, it says, arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. On who?
Us.
On a people. In fact, it's an end time people. God says the glory is coming on you. Yeah, someday when we get to heaven, we'll be in the glory. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 2. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But God's glory shall arise and be seen upon thee. And here's a question. This should settle it. When we get to the third heaven, we die and we leave this body. We're up there with the throne of God. Is the devil up there?
No.
No.
Are any demons up there?
No.
No.
Any sin up there?
No.
No.
Any hate?
No.
Anger?
No.
Prejudice?
No.
None of it. And those are all things that connect to darkness.
Yes.
See, God says the glory is coming on people in a time when darkness is on the earth. And Satan's trying to raise his head and create hate, anger, mistrust, you know, war, disease, plague, everything else. God said, I've got a solution. I'm going to counter it. You ever play poker in here? If you ever play poker, one of the things you do if you think you have a really good hand, you'll raise.
Yeah.
You know, you're betting somebody bets, you say, I'll raise that so much. And in the end times, the devil is going all in, saying, I'll raise everything I got. I'll put every devil to work I have to stop this glory from coming forth. From God winning in these end times. God said, I'll see that and raise you the glory. I'm going to raise it, and I've got a hand that's filled with glory. I'm going to bring it on my people, and there's nothing the devil can do to stop it.
Amen.
Nothing he can do to hinder it. Nothing he can do to block it. God said, my glory is coming on my end-time church, end-time people, to counter the gross darkness.
Yeah, praise God.
I don't know about you, but if I look out at the world right now, I see a lot of gross darkness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now again, we've talked about this much, but it talks about darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people. Those are two different words. Darkness are two different things. Darkness is the absence of light.
Right.
If you were to walk, I'm trying to think, in that furnace room and turn off the lights, it would be dark.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yes.
You might see a little blue flame.
Yeah.
No, it's not running right now. Darkness is just the absence of light. All you need to do to counter gross darkness is, light a candle. And a little light will light up a room.
Yeah.
It's dark. Gross darkness is different. Gross darkness is not the absence of light. In fact, it's a word that means a cloud of darkness. What that would be is if there's a house, I use this example a lot, that's on fire and everything's burning in it, and it fills up with sooty black smoke. A cloud of darkness. You can go over with a flashlight, you still can't see. You can have a spotlight, still can't see through the smoke. The particles in the smoke are just reflecting the light back at you. And a little light will not penetrate gross darkness. So us just trying to preach a nice word of Jesus is not going to be sufficient to counter gross darkness in the end times. God said the only thing that can penetrate gross darkness is glory.
Yeah.
Which again is tangible, supernatural, concentrated, agape love. God's love. He said, I'm going to bring it on my people, and that's the only thing that can disperse this gross darkness. Why? Because the demons cannot stand against it, and they flee.
Amen.
If you go in a room full of, you know, anxiety, anger, sorrow, whatever, and you bring in the glory, it could be full of devils. But you bring the glory in, all those devils scatter, and all of a sudden people's minds are cleared up. Wow, I feel the love of God. That's what comes in here every time we meet. To some level, but I'm so concentrated when people come in the door, every devil in hell falls off of them.
Amen.
They're set free just coming in the doors.
Yes. Amen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We decree it happens now. Amen. So he says, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people, but my glory shall arise and be seen upon you. Then he says this, for your sons and daughters shall come forward and be nursed at your side. God says, I'm bringing in the harvest through this glory. Verse 4, Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. And then ye shall flow together. That's covenant. That's the body without division. Do you think we're tight now? Wait till the glory comes on us. Not a devil in hell can bring an accusation against us when that happens.
Yeah.
But he's going to bring in an end time harvest. See, the devil's been taking people to hell for thousands of years. But there are now more people alive today than there have ever been in all of history put together. And before it's done, God's going to harvest the earth. Not everybody will be saved, but most of them will be, I believe. I believe before it's done, God's going to bring His glory on the scene. And it's so hard to resist. People will say, I believe in Jesus. I want Jesus. We will become harvest magnets, harvesting with nets instead of hook and line. Hook and line. Trying to hook one now and then. Kevin told me last week, God touched him. I believe it. He came in contact with the level of the glory. Life-changing impartation. We've each probably been there to some level.
Yes.
It's about to come. It's about to manifest in a concentrated, overwhelming, outpoured fashion. Here's the thing. The Word of God is full of this. Talking about the glory. Prophesying about it. Habakkuk said, if you read it, run with it. It's for the end times. So guess what we're to be running with? Better run so contrary to people's natural religious thinking, they can't comprehend anything other than day by day living like they always have. But God said, I've got more than that. I'm going to bring you into an assignment, a calling, an anointing you cannot even comprehend today.
Amen. Yes.
I'll believe all that, then you probably won't step into it. Turn to Colossians. You can still be holding Habakkuk. I put a pen in mine. It's Harmony Christian, but I got a pen.
All right, I need to get some Grace Fellowship pens.
Actually, I may order some.
Please.
I keep getting free pens from pens.com, but they keep saying healing of the hearts. Who wants that? Man, they got a whole collection of healing of the hearts pens because they keep sending me sample pens. I order them one time, and now I'm getting them 2 or 3 times a year. Notepads, flashlights, pens, all the stuff that's healing of the hearts. Colossians chapter 1, have you got it? Now look at this. Verse 25, this is Paul writing. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Now the dispensation means the assignment of God. What God's releasing to him. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Paul's saying what I'm writing, God's given me to give to you. And he says this, look at verse 26. Even the mystery, say mystery.
Yes.
What's that mean?
Unknown.
Something unknown, right?
Yeah.
Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints.
Yes.
Paul's saying, I'm about to reveal to you something that's been prophesied all along, but they couldn't see it. Because it was for the end times. Do you follow me? And he says, it's for you. Now, anybody got a Bible?
Yep.
Is it your Bible?
Yes.
Then this is for you. Yes. It's this for you. He's talking to all of us, not just that church. Which is, verse 27. I love this verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory. I'm sorry. Which is of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
He's saying the mystery is, it's been hidden for the end times, is God, through the Spirit of God, put His Spirit in you, His anointing in you, and if we use our faith and step into it and run with it, it's going to overflow as the glory of God in the end times.
Amen.
And you got to believe God's called me to do more than just be me. We shared at Tuesday night about being superheroes for God.
Yeah.
God's called you to carry His own glory.
Yeah.
Not by works of righteousness as you do, but by flowing with the Spirit of God. God can use you to scatter devils, to do miracles. We are called to be supernatural.
Amen.
You see this?
Yep.
But Paul says it's you, it's Christ in you. And hope is not like we think in English of, well, I hope so. Hope in the Bible means a expectation because you've got a promise of.
Amen.
You follow me? Earnest expectation is having a promise of something out of the Scriptures that you know is given to you of God. And you can't find it. So he's saying here, your hope of glory becomes your blueprint of life. What are you targeting? Do you see this? And what we do is we set a target for the glory, a target for the harvest, a target to be used by God, a target to be supernatural, and then we start building our faith towards it.
Amen.
We ask God for divine encounter, divine appointments, boldness. Paul said, pray for me that I might have boldness to speak. Have boldness. It's part of running. Some people run with their feet, some people run at the mouth. If you're going to run with the mouth, do it with the glory. It'll work out, okay? Now back to Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read verse 3 again. But the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it shall not tarry. Right?
Right.
It's going to be on time, it's for the end, and it's the glory. Verse 14 is the glory. But in verse 4 is another very important verse in this passage. It tells us the people not of the glory and the people that are of the glory. It says, behold, look at this. He whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. He contrasts two people, those that will live by faith. Notice they live by the word, they live by the spirit, they believe by believing, they live by believing this book and acting on it. But he says there's another people that are not people, but see, the just that live by faith are the people of the glory. But he whose soul is lifted up are the people not of the glory. Now, what does it mean to have your soul lifted up? Well, it's pride, of course. But lifted up above what? This may be new to some. But you are a three-part being. The real you is a spirit. Lives within. The spirit of you lives in the flesh body. And it possesses a soul. The real is spirit, but your soul is the holder, the container of your mind, your thinker, your will, your chooser, and emotions, your feeler. Your thinker, your chooser, and your feeler are part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. And what that is, that's a tool God gave with you to interact with this, with really the heavenly realm and the natural realm. And he says, it's possible for our individual, it's possible for an individual to elevate his soul. Yeah. Now we've already found out, and it's all through the scriptures, Jesus was the Word made flesh. The Word is without error. The Word is our foundation for life. Amen. The Word is truth. And for somebody to elevate their soul means they think they know better than the Word.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I know the Bible says that, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those buts will get you in trouble.
Okay.
I know the Bible says we should tithe, but I can't afford a tither. I don't believe that. It's Old Testament or whatever. Well, I know the Bible says I should go to church, but me and God have an agreement. You're in a dangerous territory. You follow me? And we could go on and on with, I believe, I know the Bible says it, but the Bible says we shouldn't be involved in fornication, but I have needs. Those needs are going to take you to hell if you don't deal with them. You follow me? I know I should love my wife, but she's cantankerous. I was going to say she's a woman.
Well, good to that.
Says love them according to knowledge. And people make exceptions to the word all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so they're elevating their soul. See, this should be your soul here and the word here. But people say, I know better than the word. So they put their soul above the word. They've elevated their soul above the word. This is, it's not right. Their righteousness is not going to produce. They're not upright. And they cannot carry the glory. But the just shall live by faith. Those are the people of the glory.
Yes.
Let me pause on this for just a minute. In 2018, March of 2018, I think I was already in Akragana, in Africa, and I had a dream from God. And in the dream, He took me up above the earth, and He says, here's the people of the glory. He always tells to talk to me about the glory. And I'm with Jesus. This was an actual visitation in a dream. He takes me up above the earth. I'm in outer space looking down. I can't breathe. No, didn't have any problem with it. I'm looking down on the earth, and He says, here's the churches that won't go into the glory. And that's all. The earth covered all these churches.
Yep.
It's pure pinpoint spot. Cover all these churches. They can't go into the glory. He said, they can't go into the glory because they're just playing church. They're more involved in people-pleasing and social programs than they are manifesting my glory. They can't go in. I question whether they'll go in the rapture or not. And he says, it's the vast majority. The vast majority of churches are not going to the glory because it's just about gathering together like a social club. But then he said, here's the churches going in and their response. Just here. There's still a lot of it. Instead of the whole being the whole earth covered in dots, it was just speckles of them. Here's the churches going to the glory. He says, the one that believe my word or acting on it, that are not holding back, that aren't people pleasers, that are functioning by faith. Of course, unless the Lord build a house, they build labor in vain. And the vast majority of churches will not carry the glory. This one will. If I keep going after God, we will, because He told me.
Yes.
We're on track to go into the glory, right?
Amen.
That's 17, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
We're going to the glory, but it requires a people that run. See, so many Christian churches are sidelined. Well, I go to church, I go Sunday mornings. Some even say, well, I can go Wednesday night. Church is more, Christianity is more than about tents in a building. It's about a connection to God and following that connection. Regardless of opposition. Amen. Regardless of how you feel about it. What would God have you do? And so God's call is to be people as a body to carry the end time glory of God. And you got to believe the word enough to know. He put it in a small book of Habakkuk for those who really have the mouth of a heart to seek it out and do it. Now again, verse 4, he says, and the just shall live by faith. We're going to close here in just a minute, but to break this down, the word just there means righteous. Same word. The righteous will live by faith. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God did the greatest miracle within you you'll ever experience. He took out your heart of sin and put in a heart of righteousness. It says it very clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has made him sin who knew no sin. We might be made the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. God made you righteous.
Yeah.
Now again, here's what takes faith to believe this. Because most Christians are walking around talking about how I'm just a worthless sinner saved by grace. All my righteousness is filthy rags. What a horrible thing to say about salvation. You used to be filthy rags, but God changed your nature.
Amen.
Remember, you're a spirit being, and God rebirthed your spirit being without sin. Your soul still has memories of sin. Your flesh still likes it. But your spirit's been changed. You don't want to do it anymore eternally. Here's what's so amazing. If you've given Jesus Christ your life, you've been born again, your spirit man is as righteous, holy as Jesus. Because he was the standard. He was the veil. If you're not as righteous and holy as Jesus, you don't go to heaven. I shouldn't say, if you're not as righteous as him, without sin. And God made your spirit without sin. It gives you now free access to God anytime to pray. And when you die, you go to heaven. Do not pass hell. Don't collect any demerits on the way. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But to step in requires your faith. The just, the righteous shall live by faith. And realizing what God did when you were born again. And then by faith, accessing every blessing and promise of the Word, including walking in the glory.
Yes.
Is anybody getting anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
Do you believe this?
Yeah.
Now you know your running assignment. So here's what the church normally is. Let's say I gathered up a whole bunch of people from the area, from Georgetown. We met out here in the lot that we're going to help me decree. I was told that there's somebody out here who will not sell that property. Help me decree. God changes the heart. We have all that property.
Amen.
You speak it. That's our property. We gather up 1,000 people out here. And I said, we're going to have a race. Whoever wins the race gets $1 million. I mean, if I'm having an imaginary race, let's make it $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 billion. Whoever wins the race gets $1 billion. And I say, go! What's going to happen?
Everybody's going to run.
They're going to run, they don't know where.
Yeah.
I didn't say where the finish line was. I didn't say run to downtown, run to Walmart or whatever. I just said go. And they'll be running without a goal that they know of. They won't know which way to run, how to run, even what the finish line is.
Amen.
That's where most of the church is. They're running around in circles. If they're running at all. They're targeting things that God says isn't the target. Well, let's just be a nice people. Well, praise God for being nice. We're to be nice. But nice without anointing can be annoying. I don't know where that came from anyway. Nice won't scatter any devils. Nice won't deal with gross darkness. Only the glory does that. And God says, that's the finish line. It's in Habakkuk. Whoever reads this vision, the earth shall be filled with glory. Run towards it. Now you know the finish line. It's worth a lot more than $1 million or $1 billion. I shared this the other night. Tuesday night we had a fun time. We spent some time brainstorming all the miracles God didn't get us in this building. From the money appearing miraculously, to the timing of getting in, to us getting the offer, the property next door, everything. I'm in here. We've signed the contract, but we haven't closed. We won't close for another month. I'm in here and I walk past. I see a young man tearing down that little building down there, taking boards off. And I've already told people I need that property. So I go down and talk to him and say, I'm Pastor Jack. We're buying this building. I need to buy this property here. And he says, this young man says, well, this belongs to David Lesby. He doesn't sell anything. I said, well, give me his phone number. I'll call him anyway. I called Mr. Lusby, who has a lot of properties in town. I said, Mr. Lusby, this is Pastor Jack Shoup. I just purchased his church in Chambers. And you have a strip of property next to it, I understand? I need to buy it. I would like to buy it. He said, well, it's really not for sale. And he paused and says, you know, but you know, you need it. I'll sell it to you. See the guy, make the call. He was going to build some condos out here. We shut it. That got shut down when we had to buy condos to build parking. You follow me? And the young man I talked to was Kevin over here. He's after working on the building.
Hey, Kevin.
Just divine connections and encounters.
Amen.
Kevin's
God sent you to us. I can tell you right now.
He's supposed to be here.
He's meant to be here.
We were sharing Tuesday all these miracles God's done to get us in this building. And it became very aware to me a while back, God wants us here.
Yeah.
I don't know all the purpose. I don't know all the plan. I don't know all the steps. In fact, I shared a dream I had back in January with Trump in the dream. And I said, I don't know how to do this. It'll be a step-by-step, day-by-day thing. And I'll need much counsel. And so, if God wants me here, then if somebody comes in the door today and says, I'm going to give you $5 million for this building today, I will have to say no.
Yep.
I can't sell what God's called me to do. In fact, there's only one offer that they can give this building. Just one. Anybody want to guess what it is? I will say, if you want this building, give me the pavilion. Next to the water tower. It's the only building I'll exchange this one for right now. And there's some really nice, huge church buildings to sale in town for $2 million.
Yeah.
Even $1 million. I mean, there's one out at 25 across from Grace Christian. That's for sale. It's huge. Big two-story, nice, brand-new building. Don't want to rewire anything. No walls to tear out. They can say, we'll give you that building with another $5 million. Can't do it. You can't take what God's brought you into and sell it.
Yeah.
Unless he says to do it.
Yeah.
Because what are we doing? We're running with the vision God put in front of us. The just shall live by his faith means the righteous are going to find out what God's assigned and not sell out on it. I've done many messages on sellouts. You get a call from God, a vision from God, and it will offer you everything it can to get you out of that calling. The perfect mate, the perfect job, the perfect location, anything to get you out of what God's called you to do. And I've seen it happen over and over and over again. People with anointing calls on their life. It's something in the natural offered to them, something they dreamed of offered to them. They jump at it and leave what God's calling them to. We're not doing that here. Amen. How many want to run with the vision?
Amen.
How many are going to get closed and we're going to stay all day and work on the church? Not today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, you're sealing within us. We walk in this vision. We run with this vision of your glory. We're all in. Doesn't matter what it takes you to speak to us, we will do it. And I declare in this church there are none oppressed. No suicide, no fear, no oppression, no anxiety. We're free of that. There's no pain, no disease, no injuries that can stay. We are healed by your stripes. We are made whole. There's no strife. No division and no lack. You supply everything we need for down payments and to pay this facility off. We decree we'll pay off the entire facility plus properties connected we need in 1 year.
Amen.
We believe we receive that. And I thank you prosper people in here. I thank you give seed to the sower and you prosper people in here and you speak to them. That is for the building payoff.
Amen.
Thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.